If you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible in front of you, and that'd be page 1652. 1652. That's Ephesians chapter 6. You know, I am so thankful to be at this church, and I really I love this church, and I love the people of this church. You guys are such a blessing to me, and it's fun to work at Marquette, I'll tell you that. I really enjoy this. I don't feel like I have to endure the Sundays. I really appreciate this. I love Pastor Slagle. I don't know if you guys have got to know him. He's the nice. When I first met him, I thought, he asked me to come here. I told him, I don't think it would ever work between us. I told him that three different times. This would never work between us. He kept bumping into him. I don't know. Maybe the Lord's providence. But the more I got to know him, and he's kind of low-key, but just what a wonderful man he is to work for. And stress doesn't seem to ever bother him. I'm not sure why. It bothers me, you know. You can tell. If I'm stressed, I'll just tell you. I'm stressed. But him, it just doesn't seem to bother him. But I'm just thankful for his leadership. And hey, he's not perfect. I know that. But I'm thankful that God allows me to work here. I'm thankful for my family. I have a wonderful wife. I have sweet children. It's just so strange. I don't know. And they're nice, and they hug me every day. Oh, Dad, you're the best. And I'm like, working on it. But yeah, what a blessing. God has blessed me in so many ways, and I just feel like there's so much joy. I feel like every day I have something important to do. And what a wonderful thing to be in a place of God's blessing. And there's nothing more valuable than having God's blessing. There's no sin that's worth it, is there? So many foolish things we get caught up in, and it just robs us from the joy that we should have. But I'm thankful for God's blessing. I'm thankful for my father. My father, I don't know if you've had a chance to meet him, Pastor David Potter. Wonderful man, godly father, and calm. He's like Pastor Slagle, very calm. I mean, as far as him really getting upset, as far as agitation showing, I can probably count on one hand the times that he was agitated in my whole life. And as far as him raising his voice, I can't remember a single time. He would just calmly say, you know, I'm disappointed in you. And I would cry. Oh, I let Dad down. Because I looked up to him so much. But he's a wonderful father. He's preaching somewhere today. I prayed for him. But I'm just thankful that God put him in my life. What an impact. What an impact fathers have. My grandfather, another godly man, he told me something one time when I was a young boy. And it stuck with me to this day. And every day, regularly I think about the one time he said something nice to me. And it plays over and over again in my mind. And I'm too embarrassed to even tell you what it was. But I'm too shy on this one topic. Everywhere else, I don't seem to really care. But on this one topic, it makes me very shy. But he told me, of all the grandsons, and he said something to me, and I never forgot that. And I never wanted to let him down. And what a powerful impact fathers have. And the words they say. And how people are just so shaped by the words their fathers. I heard this story once of a man, and his father was a principal of the school. And he went to high school, and he worked really hard, but he wasn't very gifted academically. And he graduated with a B average, and his father was just disappointed in him, even though he was trying his best, and he just felt like he let his dad down. So he went on to a prestigious college. He just barely got into a nice college. And he worked day and night, and he sacrificed friends, sports, everything. It was just academics. He's just going to try to impress his father. And the day came when he graduated, and he graduated the head of his class. And he didn't tell his father. He wanted his father to be surprised at the closing graduation. So his father, the principal, the one he always looked up to, he comes to the graduation. And his son, when he's done, he goes up to his father, and he can't wait to hear what his father has to say. Because he's graduated the head of his class. He graduated with the highest academic honors. And when it was all over, his father looked at him, and he said, I knew you could have done better in high school. That's funny if you think about it, the son takes that as, what does he take it as? He's still reminding me of high school. And even this wasn't good enough for him. And that stuck with that person the rest of their life. They always remembered that. That's how Dad remembered me. I could have done better in high school. Instead of saying, what do kids want to hear? Yeah, good job. Or what does Christ say to us at the end of our lives when we go to heaven someday? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear from Christ. You did a good job. And how important our Father's words are, aren't they? And the Bible talks about how God puts it in the heart of every child to respect their father. and they want to look up to their father. Unfortunately, as fathers, we push them away, don't we? But God gives us such an important role in their lives. And it's such a wonderful thing. Dads are important. In our culture today, dads are a joke. Dads are funny, right? Like if you have a comedy show about a family, dad's an idiot, right? I don't care as long as you don't scratch my new car. Ha, ha, ha. And that's, you know, dad's a big joke, right? And we all laugh about what an idiot dad is. Dad's dumb. Dad's stupid. We all make fun of him. And success and fun in a movie is when you work around dad, right? That's how the media portrays dad. Dad is stuck in his ways. He's old-fashioned. If you can just avoid his rules, you can get something done, right? Because dad stops all the good things from happening. And so dads are minimized. And the idea that there's two parents in one home, they're like, is this a Victorian era? What's wrong with you? Why would you say something so out of touch and old-fashioned? You don't need new two parents. You just need parents that have careers and are excited. And the idea of a father is just lost in our culture today. People can't even relate. And it's so sad, just the breakup of the home. And I don't have to tell you this, but half of marriages today end in divorce. Committed fathers, fathers who care, fathers who can rebuke children. This is a lost thing in our society. And our society is just running wild because there's no one watching the shop, right? The person watching the shop is the kid themselves, unfortunately. And so as we see, I have a handout for you guys. I forgot, and I had it written down too, right here. If we could have the ushers, if you come forward for a second, we have a handout for you because my sermon has many points to it, and I just think I'm going to lose people real quickly if I don't have some kind of handout. If you just lift your hand up, we have a handout for you. All right, here we go. There you go. You don't have to fight. There's plenty here. Let me give you statistics. Your first blank is different kinds of fathers the world recommends. Number one is the absent father. The absent father. Let me give you some statistics. There's a foundation that compiles statistics. It's known as the Fatherless Generation. That's the name of their website. But they've compiled various government agencies and bureaus that have done statistics. And this is the statistics on families with an absent father. You ready? Homeless children, or children that run away from homes, 90% of homeless children don't have a father that's present. 90%. Does this blow your mind? 90% of homeless children do not have a father. That's 32 times the average of families that do have a father. 90%. 85% of children who show behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 85%. That's 20% higher than families that do have a father. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 71%. Does this blow your mind? That's 9 times the average of families that do have fathers. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 75%. That's 10 times the normal average. And 85% of youths who are in prison come from fatherless homes. 85%. Does this not shock you? 85%. And that's 20 times the average of children that have a father at home. And so our society has lied to us. Absent fathers is a terrible thing to do to a child. And absent fathers are people that lack commitment. The problem today, why there's no one leading homes, is because the fathers are as immature as the kids. How can you lead your children if you're just like them? It's sad to see what's happened. Satan has done a number in our society, and Satan has lied to us and deceived us. Not having a father, it's a very big deal. It's not just, I don't feel like this. No, you've ruined that child's life. That's a very selfish thing to do. All right. So, number one problem in the world today is absent fathers. Number two is the passive father. We see a lot of this. I see a lot of this. Passive fathers. Fathers today, they're advocates. They advocate for their children. Okay? If the teacher's mean, they're going to go advocate. You were mean to my child. You expected too much. My kid is all stressed out by your requirements. My kid needs a break. They can't handle this, right? They go around advocating for their children. Fathers today, you know what they are? Fathers are Uber drivers for their kids, right? The kid calls them, they pick them up, they take them where they want to go, and they drop them off. Dad's my Uber driver, okay? He gets me where I want to go. Dad's the facilitator. You know, I'm going to put you in a really good place. I'm going to put you on the best sports team with a wonderful coach, and that coach can help you. And I'm going to put my kids in a wonderful school, and that wonderful school can help you. And I'm going to put you in the best summer program over here, and this program and that program, and I'm going to help you get the help that you need. And I think sometimes some of the fathers, I think they think they're Santa Claus, right? And they keep tabs on what their kid wants. You know, what do you want today? And what would make you happy? And okay, well, we have to figure out how we're going to pay for this, and we got to go pay for that over there. And I got to maintain this happiness. I don't want my kid to be upset, and they get upset, and we'll have tension. And we can't have tension, right? Because then I won't be able to play with my toys. I'll have to deal with the problems. Okay, immature fathers play with toys, right? That's what they do. It's just toys all the time. Life is a big game, and so the passive father, some fathers. They feel like leadership is difficult, right? If I'm a leader, I've got to work hard. I've got to sacrifice. People look up to me. There's expectations. If you're the leader, you can't complain about what happens because you did it, right? It's easier for me to sit back and complain about what my wife did or what my kids decided. Well, that was a dumb choice. I can sit back and complain all day because I'm not the one in charge. But if you're in charge, you have to take responsibility. This means you have to have a plan. This means people might criticize you. Oh, no. What if someone criticizes me? What will I do? I'll melt, right? Some people melt. The first sign of criticism, I can't handle this. If you melt on every time someone criticizes you, it's because you're a weak person, okay? Criticism's okay. It only hurts your pride. Pride needs to go anyway. If I'm like Christ, why do I have pride? That shouldn't be there. But a weak father doesn't have convictions. A weak father's only conviction is... stop the fighting. Whatever I have to do to stop the fighting, I will temporarily make you happy so it'll stop so I can go back to my idols and worship the things besides God in my life. This is wrong. This is not what God intends. This person, if they don't take their God-given role seriously, they're going to be missing out on one of the greatest joys in life. One of the greatest joys in life is being a father and having that role that God has given you. And God can use you, and you can have joy, and you can see your family succeed, okay? If your family has a problem, you should be going to the problem. If your family has a problem and you're running the opposite way, you're a bad leader. I'll just tell you, you're doing a bad job. I don't know if that's negative. There it is. You're doing a bad job. If there's a problem, you should be there to fix it. Right? Just think about all the heroes you know in life. Any kind of a story you hear, and there's the hero. Where does the hero go? Does he go towards the problem or away from the problem? The hero will always go to the problem. How do I fix this? Where can I find help? Who knows how to fix this if I don't know how to fix it? Can I work harder to fix this? Can I talk to people? Can we sit down? Can we come to some kind of agreement? Can we have some kind of a plan? How do I fix this? Okay? A bad leader sees a problem, they run because they're selfish. A good leader goes to it. When my kids cry, I need to go help them, right? For me, it's work, right? Oh, they're crying again. That's my problem, right? I need to go figure out, how do we stop this? Why are the kids fighting? You need to talk. What's going on here? What can we do to end this? How do we fix this? Where's the selfishness? How do I fix this? I don't run from problems. If I'm a good father, I go to the problem. Okay? And all that is introductory. Now, some of you say this. I'm powerless. I can't fix my family. I don't have the ability to fix my family. And I say to you, you've been lied to. You do have the ability to fix your family. You know how I know this? Let me give you some pointers on how you can be in control. If you haven't thought of anything, here's a few ideas. Are you bigger than your child? Do you practice biblical spanking? This can be done. You can spank them and they stop. Discipline thy son and he will give you rest. He will give you delight unto your soul. It can be done, okay? A few whacks on the bottom can do a miracle. Okay, are you bigger? Number two, who provides your children's food, clothing, and shelter? Is that you? Then you're in control. I know of one father, he would call his kids every day to the same dinner. Come to dinner. It took him 20 minutes to straggle into dinner. And he got tired of it. He said, you need to be on time for dinner. And the kids just said, oh, whatever, Dad. And so one day, he decided if you don't, the kids didn't come on time, he said, no dinner for you. And the kid missed the whole meal and they cried. Oh, it never happened again. Will kids die if they miss one meal? Most certainly not. Okay, food is not the problem in our culture. Well, as far as limiting the quantity. We're okay on the food. Let me ask you this. In your house, do you have Wi-Fi in your house? Do you have a password? Do your kids have a cell phone? Okay, then you are in control of them. They'll do anything for Wi-Fi, right? You want to see a kid cry? You take away their cell phone. So don't give me this. I can't control how they act. I have no control. You do have control. You're making excuses. You just don't want to lead. What if you have older children? My kids are grown up. I have no influence. Do they live under your roof? For free. That's what boggles my mind. Do they have to do anything for their rent? What about this? Do you ever support them financially? What if your kid comes to you? I want to marry an unsafe person that's bad for me. Will you pay for the wedding? What's the answer? No! I don't agree with this. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not here just to rubber stamp you making wrong choices. I'm not going to support dysfunction. I say no, okay? I obey God before man. You as a parent, you know your kids all know how you, by the way, have your parents ever been upset at something that you did? You talked about it for years, and dad was upset. I couldn't believe it. I did the right thing. You always remember how your parents react to things, right? And now you're the parent. You get to tell your kids, I'm disappointed in what you're doing. If you can do nothing else, you can tell them, I can't give my blessing to this. And that will hurt, okay? You don't believe me. Remember when you were the kid and your parents were disappointed? Remember how that felt? You have that same power. And so the idea that you have no power to me makes me laugh, okay? You have all kinds of power. You're just not using the power that God has given you. Ephesians 6:4 is our scripture of the day. Chapter 6, verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word provoke there is frustrate. Don't be frustrating to your kids, okay? Don't be the kind of leader that shuts down progress because you're so selfish. Don't just shut down. Don't just frustrate your, oh, there goes dad killing the good thing again. Don't be this guy. Instead, bring them up in the nurture and admonition. And the idea of this is, it's the idea of child rearing. Raise them up. Care for their needs. Raise them up. Teach them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them the way the Lord teaches them. So, to my fathers, this is in your outline in the quotes. It says, fathers should use their God-given position to influence their families. Fathers should use their God-given positions to influence their families. Let's use the position God has given us. You have this position. Use it. Do something. I don't care if your kids are imperfect. What are you doing about it? Are you doing what you can do? Are you being faithful with what God has given you? You can't have perfect kids, right? My kids are close. You can't have perfect kids. But what are you doing with the kids God has given you? How are you using your influence? What have you done, okay? Rather than worrying about how they've turned out or how good or how bad they are, worry about you. Are you doing what you can do? And as we put our trust in God and we do the things that we can do, then the rest is in His hands, isn't it? We have to trust Him. And it's amazing when we're faithful how God blesses that, doesn't He? Because none of us are really perfect. We all fall short at some point. So how can we use our influence? Number one, we can squander our influence. We can squander our influence. We can waste it. We can frustrate our kids. We can be a frustrating parent. The kid needs certain things to learn and grow, to be successful. They need a certain discipline. And if we're not teaching them discipline, boy, what's going to happen? They're not going to be where they should be, are they? And so we've set them up for failure. So don't squander your influence. This is some examples of squandering. Letter A, failure to love. If the kid doesn't sense love from us, if they don't see us consistently caring and involved, it doesn't matter how many times you spank a kid. If you don't love them, the spanking is useless, right? It just makes them mad. If it's just coming from a place of anger. And I don't have to tell you, being in a home full of anger is not a place that anyone wants to be, right? Hopefully, all of us realize what a terrible place that is. And it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be yelling. No one has to yell. If you have to yell at your kids, it's because you're not a good leader. Good leaders don't have to yell. If I yell, it's because I've lost control. But we need to be loving. They should hear us. You can speak the truth in love, and believe me, it's more painful for someone loving and caring. My dad used to tell us how disappointed he was, and we used to fall to pieces crying. Oh, we let dad down, and we would cry. We looked up to dad, right? Because dad lived what he said, and we wanted him to like us. We thought, if we could just have dad tell us we did a good job, we thought, that's good. That's what we need. We were so excited. We did something good. Dad did something. He'd pat us. And we thought, that was it right there. We did it. And that's what a good leader should be, a loving leader. Letter A, some things that derail loving leadership. Subpoint here is being selfish. A selfish leader is not loving. If you're self-centered, if you just think about yourself, if you use your authority to advance your own agenda, this is my money. I'm going to spend it how I wish. I don't care about you. I don't have to talk to my wife. I can just do whatever I want. That's really selfish, isn't it? You're not really being a team player. A selfish person, it's like they just suck the oxygen out of the room, aren't they? They kill the joy that should be there. And the things have to go their way. If things don't go my way, I'm going to blow up because I'm such a big deal. You're not that big a deal, really, okay? And you blowing up, it's just you trying to make the person feel bad. But that's not what it is. It's not about you. The home is not about you. The home is about being where God wants you to be. And I'm under God's authority like my kids are under my authority. And we all have to answer to someone. I can't just do whatever I want. God's going to hold me accountable for how I treat my three children, okay? Just like I hold them accountable about how they treat each other and how they treat me and how they treat my wife. They better not be disrespectful to my wife, right? Because that's going to hurt them later. It's going to hurt our home. And when we work together as a team, this works. But selfishness is the opposite of team, right? It's about me. And I don't have to remind you, if you're one of the men here, men starts with me, doesn't it? See how I did that? Yes. It's easy to be selfish. Number two, it's easy to be angry. Your next blank is angry. And anger is letting the world know that things are not going the way I think they should, and they should feel the pain that I feel. Right? Things aren't going the way that I should be treated better. I'm a big deal. And you didn't let me do the things that I wanted to do. So now I'm going to blow up on you, and so you feel the way I feel. This is the ultimate of pride and selfishness, right? Is this how Christ would have acted? No, right? He's humble. He deals with things in a humble manner. It's not about him. I would warn you, even in discipline, disciplining your children out of anger is one of the most hurtful things you can do. I know of a pastor, and you could hear him screaming at his kids as he spanked them. To this day, those kids are scarred by that father, isn't he? That hurt them. That didn't help them. That wasn't about helping them. That was about him venting his anger. And so the conflict is between me and Dad. I let Dad down. It wasn't I let the Lord down. I did the wrong thing in my own life. It becomes this, right? It's me versus you. My flesh versus your flesh. Who can fight? And kids can fight a long time if that's all it is. No, it's not about us. Discipline is about helping our children be right before the Lord. I'm loving you enough to stop you from hurting yourself. I'm loving you enough to make wise choices so God can bless you. And so it's not about my emotion. If it's about you, leave the room. Take a breath. It's not about you, okay? That's going to cloud things. Don't be an angry father. That's very selfish. Number three is the preoccupied father. The preoccupied father. If you want to build trust in your marriage, if you want to build trust with your kids, try this. Learn to listen, right? Kids will tell you all kinds of things if you just give them a chance. It's amazing the things I hear from my kids. They'll tell me everything. Everything that mom has done. They let me know if they think she drove too fast or, you know, whatever. But it's laughable because she's a very safe driver. But in their perspective, they'll tell you, well, I think this, I think that. And kids, I do this with the youth group as I give out 3x5 cards to the teens and I say, what can I pray for you? And I do this in innocence. I'm not looking for anything other than just, what can I pray for you? And the kids will write all kinds of stuff on there. And some of the stuff, I'm like, I didn't want to know that. But if you just listen, you can gain kids' trust, can't you? You can gain their heart. And this person cares about me. And this person, if they think you care about them, kids will run through walls for you. They think at the end of the day that you care about them first. And so don't be too preoccupied. Put stuff down. Listen to them. Show physical affection. Put your arm around your. If you can't put your arm around your kid, something is wrong there. There's something you haven't dealt with. There's something that you've hurt their trust somewhere. Be the kind of father that can put his arm around his daughter. And I'll tell you this. If you don't put your arm around your daughter, she'll find someone to do it for you. And it may not be a person that you like. So be the father that puts his arm around his daughter. Tell him that you love him. Why don't we say we love each other anymore? It's like we're afraid of the cooties and we're adults. I don't get it. Tell them each day. I tell my kids that. I wear them out. I say, I always tell Ashlyn, Ashlyn, you're awesome. She's like, thanks, Dad, you are too. I'm like, right on. There's no compliment better than from your own kid, right? I mean, that's like Christmas morning when your kids compliment you. That's the way it should be. But tell them you love them. I tell this to my kids all the time. You know what one of the most exciting days of my whole life was? And they always know this. The day you were born, we had so much fun. We're like, you know, whatever child is born, they're like, thanks, Dad. And I'm like, right on. And we're so excited. Just tell, you know what? A lot of times kids don't get that you love them. Now, I know this. You told them that you loved them once 20 years ago, and they should remember that, blah, 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 blah. But kids want to hear it again. They need that reaffirmation, don't they? And maybe when you married your wife, you told her, you know, on that wedding day, you told her that you loved her. She forgot. You should tell your wife every day that you love her. Okay, I don't care if you have to force it. You say it anyway. They need to hear that. They need to know that. That gives them security, doesn't it? That makes them feel safe if they know how you feel about them. Tell them every day. Wear them out. I don't care. But show them that you care. So, squandering our influence, letter A is the failure to be loving. Letter B, failure to lead. When dads don't leave, that's when things break down. Maybe sometimes dad was an excited leader at once, and then he made a big mistake, and then he can't live it down. He made that mistake once. Maybe mom reminds him, remember that one time you did the finances and you didn't pay whatever bill? And then the rest of his life, he's saddled with this weight that he made a mistake once. If you're a wife and your husband made a mistake, and I've given you lots of examples in this message, please forgive them. Okay, they're humans. They make I shouldn't say they. We make mistakes regularly. We're sinners. We're doing our best, but we're sinners. Forgive them. And husbands, if you made a mistake, tell your wife, you know what? I'm sorry I let you down. Admit it. Don't try to hide it, because she knows, and she'll know to her grave that you did it. And just tell her, yes, I blew it. I'm sorry. I'd like to try again. I'd like to earn your trust, okay? And pick up the pieces and keep going. Don't let one mistake define the rest of your life. That's just silly. Okay, be a leader. Have an agenda. Have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're just kind of reacting to things, right? And trying to minimize damage over here. And the family goes nowhere. Don't do this. Be a leader. Be out front, okay? This will help. If you're leading, you'll have fewer troubles, right? If the ship is going somewhere, it's a lot better chance that you're going to, fewer chances are that you're going to sink if you're going somewhere, okay? If you have an agenda, you'll have fewer problems. If you're doing something with your kids, they don't get in trouble as much because they don't have the time, do they? So have a plan. Do something. All right. We get to our second way we can use our influence. Number one, I mentioned we can squander our influence. We can frustrate our children. The second way we can use our influence is to lead our families for the Lord. Lead your family for the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Point your children to the Lord. Is this easy to do? No. By God's grace, we can do this. We can be the leaders. Letter A, be a leader. Leaders are experts. Be an expert. Read the books. Talk to the people. We have a lot of wonderful fathers in our church. And some of the families here, I think if they had like 17 more kids, they would all turn out well. And they've got it down to a science, you know. And they care and they're involved, and it's just what they do. If you see someone like this and they're a great father, you know what you do? You take them to lunch and say, what can I learn from you? Well, what's worked for you? And they'll tell you all kinds of stuff. Maybe some of it works for you, maybe some of it doesn't. But I'm here to learn and to grow. I want to be an expert. If you think about it, when someone gets hired at your workplace, who do they have the new person shadow? Do they have the guy that like barely makes it on time and he looks like he just woke up? And he's about to get fired because he's always calling out sick and half the jobs are shoddy and falling apart. Is that the guy they have, Shadow? No. I'll tell you who Shadow's at most jobs. It's the guy that's been there for like 10 years. You know this guy. They know every piece of equipment perfectly. They can fix any problem. Their productivity numbers are off the chart. They're always closing some kind of a deal or fixing some kind of machine. Or they know how things run, right? You pick the guy that's been there, reliable, maybe a guy, maybe a girl. They've been there a long time and they know what they're doing. And you have the new person shadow them because you know what? They have something to communicate. They have something to teach. Not the guy that's about to get fired or the girl that's about to get fired. They have nothing to, you don't want to learn from them, right? What do they know? They know how to get to the coffee break quickest, you know, and be the first one in line for lunch. Okay, you don't want to learn from that person. You want to learn from the expert. Parents, you know, why don't my kids learn from me? Well, what kind of a Christian are you? Are you the person that's, you know, you barely make it to church and you're like half asleep and I'm glad that's over? Well, what are you going to teach your kids? You have nothing to teach them. Be an expert. Learn what you have to learn. Read books. Read lots of books. I know for guys, books is very difficult. If you have to, you can always turn the TV off. I know it's maybe a major step for some of you. Open up a book, you know, printed words. Have you ever seen those? Read them. Learn something. Ask people. Bug people. It always boggles my mind when things go wrong. It's like some people, it's like they're a submarine, and they're like dive, dive. They got to hide from everybody, and they're in submerge mode. You know, we can't have people see our problems. We may not look, you know, cool to people or whatever. Don't worry. Be humble. Okay. Who cares what people think? You're accountable before the Lord. You're not accountable to people. People have all kinds of opinions, and a lot of them are worthless. Don't worry. Okay. If people see you in an unflattering light, it's all right. You're not that big a deal. Jesus is the big deal. Try to please him, okay? Be an expert. Learn what you have to learn. Do what you have to do. Take the time. Take effort, okay? Good parenting is hard work. Be selfless. It's not about you. God can make you into what you need to be. So, number one, be an expert. Be an expert. Learn what you have to learn. Use the scriptures. Study the scriptures. Do what I read in Deuteronomy. Teach them. Number two, leaders are teachers. Be a teacher. Have you ever had like an amazing teacher in school and you thought, this teacher is the best ever? Yeah. You guys are all thinking of a name, right? Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so. They changed my life, right? They were incredible. I always hated whatever it was, math or science or history, until that person taught it, and then I'm like, whoa, math is awesome, right? Because they were just excited to teach you. Be a teacher. Be like this person. Now, the person you're excited about right now that taught you, were they easy? Not necessarily, were they? Isn't that kind of funny? We just think, if I go easy on my kids, they'll like me. Not necessarily true. They like you if you're a teacher. If you're excited about them and teaching them. That's what kids get excited about, okay? So be a teacher. That means that you have to explain things, Dad. You can't just be Captain Dictator, fascist dictator. And you can't just tell your kids, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. Why not? I'm your father. That's all you need. You know, I heard one father, I do it because it works. In the meantime, kids are running away from home. And I'm thinking, is it really working? Because it seems like your kids don't really want to be around you. And sure, you get conformity temporarily, but you haven't really touched their heart, have you? You haven't really changed who they are. And they'll spend the rest of the time obeying whoever they have to obey, but their hearts will be so far from the Lord. Now, don't be a dictator. Don't throw your weight around. Your wife is annoyed by you. Don't do it. Try this. Rather than yelling and screaming when they ask you something, explain to them why. Well, Dad, why do we do this? Well, let me talk about why we do this. Let me explain to you. And you know, this makes you have a biblical reason. It's not just, you do this because it really annoys me and I'm so important. You have to have preferences like I have preferences. You have to look just like I look and talk the way I talk because I want to clone myself. No, this isn't the right reason, is it? You have to explain to your kids. Use words. Explain things. You know, there's a scripture about this. You know, if your kids are like, well, all the other kids in my class, they all do this and this activity, but you won't let me. Why is that? Explain to them why. You know, this is what the scripture says, and maybe this is how I apply it. Maybe the Bible doesn't say exactly this thing, but I've noticed this tendency, and so I want our family to be safe, and I want to protect you, so this is why we do this. Give them reasons. Explain. You know that your kids can talk and listen, right? Talk to them. Use words. I know for some of you men, it's like you get home from work, and what comes out? You grunt, right? Right? Two grunts means food, you know. Three grunts means like the remote or something. I don't know. I know for some guys, you struggle to talk. Some of you are not big talkers, and I am a big talker, so not a problem, right? I talk constantly. But for some of you guys, I understand this. You have to work. God has to give you grace. Explain to your children, why do we do this, Dad? Well, let me tell you, son. And you know, you explain enough times, your kids will stop asking, right? Because they get all these answers from you. But they realize there's a reason behind this. And it's not just me dominating with my size and force. And they learn that leadership is about caring and being kind. It's not just serving yourself. This is the wrong view of leadership. Use your words. Number two, and this is going to make some mothers very upset, but here it goes. Brace yourself, moms. Give your children the chance to fail. Give them chances to fail. Oh, what if they make me look bad? What if they make a mistake? Yes, that's part of the learning process. They're not going to be perfect. The first time they clean the bathroom, they're going to miss spots. It's okay. You take them back. Look what you did. Look how it turned out. Let's talk about this. Now, I'm not saying throw them in harm's way and hope they survive. It's not like, You can take small chances at first. But if they don't have a chance to fail, they don't have a chance to learn, right? If I can't mess up at something, how am I going to get better at it? If the parent runs in and saves them from all disaster, that kid will be immature forever, won't they? Give them chances to fail. Part of being a teacher is giving homework. Give your kids homework. I want you to mow the grass this way. You come back, they miss giant swaths of grass, and you're like, let's talk about what happened here, okay? Before you eat dinner tonight, you're going to cut these swaths, okay? But you gave them the chance. If you sat there and watched them each little step of the way, then it's like, I do it because, you know, dad's home and he's a dictator. But teach them to do things on their own. They can go places. Your kids can, you want to teach your kids math? I've got a really fast method. This is maybe the homeschooler in me. Give your kids money. Here's some money. What do you want to buy in the store? Here's some money. What do they do? I want to buy this giant bicycle. Well, how much money do you have? Okay, I don't have the money. All right. But this makes them learn on their own, right? Turn them loose, a little bit of freedom. And I know mothers hate this. Oh, my kid's in danger. Your kids are going to make mistakes. It's okay, right? Someday they're going to make all kinds of decisions for themselves. I want them to make small decisions initially, right, that I can help and make sure they're safe. And then as they get older, they make bigger and bigger choices. And eventually, they're going to spread their wings and they're going to fly. And hopefully by then, they know how to make decisions. You've taught them, okay? But part of teaching is giving them chances to fail. All right. So, if we want to use our influence, we've got to be teachers. The spirit of a teacher, caring about our kids, communicating with our kids. And then my last point here, you say to me, all these things you're saying are great, right? Maybe you fathers are like, that's good. I do about one-fifth of that. Okay, the rest of it's kind of a failure. And I say to you, don't panic. Some of you sit here, and for Father's Day, maybe it's not a happy day for you. Maybe Dad was all the bad things that I said, right? Maybe he was self-centered. And, you know, when someone's had a difficult father, and they shop for Father's Day cards, maybe you look for a card with, like, a smiley picture, and there's nothing on in the inside, so you don't have to lie to your father. And maybe for you, Father's Day is a very difficult day. And that's okay. I understand. Fathers, you're imperfect. And for us, maybe you had a father that didn't live up to the ideal. But I'll tell you this. Either way, point number three, the cross gives us all a second chance. The cross gives us all a second chance. The Christian life is based on the cross, isn't it? We're all born sinners. The psalmist said, babes come from the womb speaking lies. We don't have to be taught to sin. We are naturally sinners, and we destroy things, right? We break things, and we've broken God's law. There's many times we do. The things that we communicate, our attitudes, our self-centeredness, many different times we've broken God's law. And because we've broken God's law, we are sinners, and God is the perfect judge, and a perfect judge will always execute perfect justice. And perfect justice for sinners is an eternity in hell away from God. And so we deserve hell because of our sin. And this is why God the Father sent his Son, sinless, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He was sinless. He was completely perfect. And he died. And because he was God in the flesh, he was able to die on behalf of all of our sins, past, present, and future. Every word that you've said, every thought you've had, every action, he forgave them all. And we have to accept that forgiveness by faith. And we say that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse your heart, you're given a new life. And we call this being born again. And when you're born again, you know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You don't have to fear hell anymore. And God begins a process called sanctification. Each day I become more like Christ. And that cross represents forgiveness and a second chance, doesn't it? And so for all of you fathers here, you're like, I've blown it. I didn't live up to the ideal. My kids are ruined forever. I'm not the ideal. And people look down on me. I say to you, God gives you a second chance. He forgives you of the mistakes that you've made. And he wants you to pick up where you're at, and he wants you to be like Christ. He gives you the second chance. And for those of you who are here, and maybe your father was less than the ideal, maybe he said those hurtful words to you, the cross reminds us that just as God forgave us, we have to forgive them, don't we? We can't hold on to this anger at them. That's just going to hurt us. We have to be forgiving. We can't keep bringing this up. We have to let go of those things in our past. And those things just hurt us more. We have to give our fathers love and forgiveness, even as Christ gave us that same love and forgiveness. And you know what? If you're here today and you didn't have the ideal father, God wants to be your father. And you know what? He's a father to the fatherless. And he loves each one of you. And if you'll walk with him in your daily life, you can feel him leading and guiding you as a father. And he can give you the emotional comfort and strength in the need that you have. God is a father to the fatherless. Wherever you are today, Christ offers you forgiveness. Christ offers us hope. And we can be what God wants us to be. Let's bow our heads.